que eso I always ask you to pay full attention to the sound of the bell. And you pay attention to the sound of the bell. Then probably you really feel the world is changing. Why? You are just paying attention to the sound of the bell. You know, this bell is just an ordinary bell. Some Tibetan bell, you know, someone gave me. So this bell itself is nothing special. But just paying attention to the sound of the bell, everything is changing. So today we want to discuss about that secret of mindfulness or attention, or observing, or like that, you know. And because, you know, as we have been discussing, mindfulness is very important, vipassana is very important, you know, and wisdom is very important, or like that, you know, but everything sounds okay, but still something is not so clear, you know. Well, then, what is the Buddhist three principles? Anicca, dukkha, anatta. You know, impermanent, suffering, and no self. Okay, impermanent, suffering, no self. Yeah, okay, I understand. Oh, already I read enough, no? I listened to the Dharma talks by many teachers about anicca, dukkha, anatta, you know? And I learned so many things about mindfulness, you know, about the object of mindfulness, you know. But what are they? You know, I always feel, yes, everything sounds okay, but, okay, in one hand, anicca dukkha anatta, and then there's mindfulness, then vipassana, you know, and wisdom, you know. So how are they related to each other? You know? Then you learn usually first, oh, what is the Buddhist principle? Three principles, okay, anicca dukkha anatta, yes, yes, okay, I understand, you know? Then you have to practice vipassana, okay, I understand. Then you have to practice mindfulness in your daily life, okay, I understand, you know? But can you really integrate all of them? Can you really understand everything in just one perspective? You know? It's very difficult. So that's why usually we have lots of Buddhist knowledge. But, but then we go back to our own daily life. Nothing works, you know. I'm as miserable as before. I have a strong attachment as before. I have a strong hatred as before. Like that. Nothing works. Okay. So that's why I really want to change this kind of situation. You know, not only India, everywhere is like that. In Japan, in other countries, in America, in Europe. You know, I've been everywhere. Because basically I was ordained in Japanese tradition, and I went to America to teach Zen to American people. And I went also Italy to teach Zen to Italian people or European people. And I came back. After that, I went to Myanmar, and I went to Sri Lanka, and I went to Nepal, and Bhutan, and India. And recently, I am staying in Japan. And very often, I go to Taiwan and Korea, you know? So it means I have been meeting many, many teachers. I have been meeting many, many Buddhist practitioners, you know? All of them, my friends, very good friends, you know? But still, I really feel something is lacking in our practice or in our understanding. So that's why I'm not offering at all like some kind of new vipassana technique, you know, or new theory, you know, about something, you know. I can offer only just a Vipassana technique which already you know, I can only show you some Buddhist teaching which probably already you know, but maybe I can show you some kind of new perspective from which you can understand everything. You can understand Anicca Dukkha Anatta. You can understand mindfulness. You can understand Vipassana. You can understand wisdom. You can understand perfect equanimity. Like that. Okay? So, then, what is Anicca Dukkha Anatta? You know, Anicca is impermanent. Dukkha is a suffering. Anatta is a no-self. Okay? This is the three basic principles of Buddhism. You know? He says so. But then, what is that? Like all of you already familiar with this idea, you know? But Anicca Dukkha Anatta, impermanent, suffering, no self, is a fundamental nature of the world of clouds. You know? We have been discussing about blue sky and clouds. Okay? And every morning, we are entering into blue sky by practicing feeling subtle body sensation and feeling, paying attention to subtle body sensation is of course not enough because our mind is still left alone. That's why we practice compassion meditation. Then, we deal with our ego. And this ego is, of course, negative thinking mind, you know. I say negative thinking mind, just not only the thinking mind, you know, because if you check your mind, you know that 99% of your thinking is just negative. Do you agree? You know? Only 1% maybe a little bit positive, you know. But if you really check what you are thinking all the time, 99% are actually negative, you know. Like anxiety about tomorrow, worrying about tomorrow, and you are regretting, and you are complaining about the situation, you are complaining about your partner, you know, and feeling attachment, feeling hatred, feeling anger, and you are making lots of angry story about such and such a situation, or like that. So if you check what you are thinking all the time, you are surprised. 99% of our thinking are just negative. You know? So that's why if you, if you go to some kind of cafe, and if just listen to people's conversation, you know? Then 99% of people's conversation are actually negative. You know? Always complaining about someone who is not here. You know? And like that. Couples are constantly complaining about their partner. You know? I never heard like a couple is praising their partner, you know? Or I have a very good husband. My wife is so wonderful. Usually I don't hear that kind of story, you know? So, like that. Then, so that's why our thinking mind is mostly negative. We have to admit it. Okay? So anyway, then we let go of our negative thinking mind by practicing compassion meditation, you know. So then, little by little, we are entering into, I call it, new dimension. You know, we left our old dimension and we are entering into new dimension. And but the point is, new dimension is not just a place. Okay, now we are in Bir, Bir village. And Dharamsala is 2 hours drive, you know? Okay, let's move from Bir to Dharamsala. It's not like that. Okay? Why? Because this is a new dimension. Why? Because you have been living in one dimension, and we call it old. And now we are entering a totally new dimension. That's why it's new. That's why I call it new dimension. It's totally new. You know, because our negative thinking mind has been creating one world, one dimension, until now. And then our negative thinking mind is now becoming slow and slow and slow, and then totally new world is opening up. That's why I call it new dimension, you know? But point is, this is actually not new, you know? And actually, you know, because, you know, through Vipassana meditation, someone is actually experiencing this new dimension. It's true. But still, it's not enough. Unless we realize this new dimension is our true self. You know? This is your essence. Then it's totally different. You know? Like, through meditation, through especially Vipassana meditation, many people might have this kind of experience. You know, their mind becomes very calm, and they are observing body sensation, or observing their mind, or breathing. You know, then they have almost like a perfect equanimity. They don't have any more attachment, any more anger, or like that. But still nothing has changed. Then why? What? No. When we are entering into this new dimension, this is our true essence. You know? This is the whole point. Because this blue sky is our true self. You know? This is a totally new idea, totally new perspective, you know. People can have experience of perfect equanimity in their meditation state, you know. But having such a very deep meditation state and changing a perspective, a totally different story. And I know many people, I know many people who have a very deep meditative state, but their perspective has not yet changed, you know? So that's why I'm saying, yes, we can enter into new dimension, and everything is very calm and peaceful, and you have already almost perfect equanimity, no attachment, no anger, you know. But at the same time, we really have to understand this is our true self. This is me. You know, this is. Then our true self is just blue sky. Then in this blue sky, clouds are just arising, passing away, like that. This perspective, of course, this perspective is totally so-called Mahayana Buddhist idea, you know. Or when this perspective changed, Mahayana Buddhism actually started, you know. So it means blue sky is our true essence, you know. Until then, I am a cloud, you know. So then, only when my dirty clouds are purified, I can reach blue sky, which exists somewhere in the future. You know, this kind of idea. But now, perspective changed. Our true essence is a blue sky. You know, it's different, right? I repeat, okay? I am just a cloud, okay? And my clouds are just dirty, polluted, you know? That's why I have to purify my dirty clouds, you know? Then purify. And finally, my clouds is just gone, and finally I become blue sky. Or I reach the blue sky, like that. This is one way of, one perspective, or one way of thinking, you know? But there's another different kind of perspective. We have a cloud, but at the same time, our essence is blue sky. You know? So when can we enter into blue sky? Anytime when we realize it. You know? We don't have to wait until all white clouds are just gone. You know? So something like that, okay? So then, we are entering into a new dimension, and finally, we realize our true essence is blue sky. Okay? Then, from blue sky, we are watching the world of clouds. Okay? This perspective, we really need it to understand everything about Dharma is talking about. Then, okay, let's check Anicca Dukkha Anatta. So Anicca Dukkha Anatta, what does it mean in this perspective? You know? Anicca Dukkha Anatta, impermanent, suffering, and no self. It's like a fundamental characteristic of the world of clouds. You know? Everything in the world of clouds is just fleeting. It doesn't last. So it's meaning impermanent, anicca. And that's why, like an end result is always suffering. And no self. So it means Anicca Dukkha Anatta is exactly opposite of what we want to believe. We want to believe everything lasts permanent. We want to believe we can find happiness in the world of clouds. And we believe everything has its own essence. Everything really exists, you know? Because everything really exists, that's why, and there's something good, something bad, that's why I have a strong attachment to something good. Because this, if I get it, I can become happy. And we have a very strong hatred, resentment, or anger towards something bad. Because we strongly believe, because something bad, I am unhappy. That's why I have to really fight against something bad. Then we want to believe this something good will last forever. You know? And we can find some happiness in this world. But the Buddha said, no. Whatever you want to believe, it's not true. You know? Everything is just fleeting. That's why everything is just suffering. That's why and there's no essence. Anything doesn't exist really. You know? So, through anicca, dukkha, anatta, impermanent suffering, non-self, we can really understand the true nature of the world of clouds. Okay? The world of clouds. Then why Buddha teaches like that? It means in the world of clouds. It's not like what you think. It's not like what you want to believe. You know? That's why it's better just get out of the world of clouds. You know? Now, some people say, oh, Buddhism is very pessimistic, you know? Because they are always constantly talking about suffering, you know? Yes, so of course, we are talking about lots of suffering. You know? But it's not like, and Buddhism says, oh, life is suffering, you know? It's very pessimistic, you know? But it's not true, you know? Of course, life is suffering as long as you are deluded. You know, as long as you live in the world of clouds, of course, your life is completely, completely, completely dead end. You know, you can never find any happiness in this world. But it doesn't mean you can never find happiness anyway. It's not like that. Of course, you can find happiness which lasts forever. But you can never find it here in the world of clouds. You know? That's why when Buddha says life is suffering or anicca dukkha anatta, it means we really have to give up to find happiness here. But it doesn't mean we have to give up find happiness anyway. It's no. We have to find happiness somewhere else. And we can. You know? So that's why if you listen to the half story of Buddhism, maybe Buddhism sounds very pessimistic, you know. But of course, Buddhism is absolutely optimistic. Why? Buddhism can offer the happiness which lasts forever. You know. But of course, I know Buddhism sounds pessimistic. People say so because for the people, they understand life is suffering. You know, they feel it. But they cannot find real happiness. That's why they find only half-truth. Then this half-truth, I mean, life is suffering, is so true for them. That's why people, oh, yes, they agree. And they agree. Then they think, oh, I don't want to think like that. But this, yes, 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 life is suffering, yes. That's why Buddhism is very pessimistic, you know. But this is still half. This is half, you know. So we have to go the second one, you know, the other half. Okay. Then anyway, the world of clouds is something like that. Okay. Then now we are entering into the world of blue sky through meditation. We are doing three kinds of meditation. Okay. Then, through three kinds of meditation, now we are entering into the world of blue sky. And this is not just a world of blue sky, but this is you. Our true home, and at the same time, we are our true self. Okay? So, blue sky is not just a place. It's not just it's not just a space, you know. But it's just our true nature, our true self, our true essence, like that, you know. Okay? So then, that's why if we realize we are just blue sky, then we can observe our white clouds. Because in the blue sky, clouds are just coming and going, coming and going, arising, passing, arising, passing. Okay? Then at that time, what happens? Now you are not anymore one of the clouds. Until now, we are living in the world of clouds, and we are the one part of clouds. And we are encountering other clouds, white clouds and black clouds, you know. Then that's why, for me, for you, white clouds or black clouds, they are so important. Why? Because white clouds can make me happy. Black clouds will make me unhappy, you know? So that's why I have to be very serious to get white clouds. I have to be very serious to fight against black clouds, you know? This is really a matter of life and death, you know? This is really a matter of life and death. That's why people have to fight until they kill each other. You know? I'm not joking. This is really what is going on in this world right now. You know? We are really killing each other. Why? Because everything matters so much, so seriously for everyone. We strongly believe if I get this one, I can become happy. If I destroy this one, I can become free. That's why we are seriously fighting each other. And expectation, disappointment, like that. And even human relationship, we have a human relationship with exactly with this kind of principle. You know? I need him, I need her. Without him, without her, I cannot become happy. We have a strong attachment. Then we married, you know. But unfortunately, he or she doesn't behave as we want. Of course, you know, he or she is a different personality, you know. Of course, they are not made for ourselves, you know. That's why our expectation and real person, they don't match. Then we are so disappointed, you know. Or maybe I made the wrong choice. Maybe I need new choice, or something like that. But again and again and again, we are failing, failing, failing. Why? Because our fundamental expectation was, from the beginning, it was wrong. You know? But as long as we are living in the world of clouds, we cannot avoid this. Because in the world of clouds, only white clouds is a symbol of hope. And black clouds are a symbol of unhappiness or misery or like that. That's why we really struggle to attain white clouds, to avoid or destroy black clouds, like that. So everything is serious. Everything is too serious. So this is far from perfect equanimity, far from seeing things objectively. You know? Then mindfulness sets in. Now, you know, I don't know India, but now in the West, you know, mindfulness is very big stuff. You know? Even Google, you know? Google, and they are introducing mindfulness into companies, workers of Google, you know. Thich Nhat Hanh is already invited to lead a walking meditation in the Google, you know. And many business consultants, they are now using mindfulness as for consulting business, you know. So that's why mindfulness is already big business subject. And maybe more and more. You know? Because many many workers everywhere, probably India too, you know, America and Japan, many workers are now suffering from mental disease. Many people feel depressed, you know. And in Japan also, many workers in Japanese company, they become very depressed, they can't work anymore, you know. So it's very damaging the company, you know. So that's why companies are so nervous about it. Well, then they are introducing mindfulness in for the mental health of their workers, you know. But then, what is mindfulness, you know? Mindfulness is just seeing things as it is, you know, without any judgment, you know, like that. I don't understand, you know. Probably nobody understands, you know. Oh, mindfulness is very good, mindfulness is very good, you know, but what is mindfulness? And we listen to the explanation of mindfulness. Nobody understands. What is the point of mindfulness? You know? But if you if you see this blue sky and clouds, then you understand the essential point of mindfulness. Essential point of vipassana. Essential point of observing. You know? Point. And also you can understand the perfect equanimity, which you listen if you go to vipassana course, you know. If you go to vipassana course, they are constantly put emphasis on perfect equanimity, you know. But I cannot have perfect equanimity. I have always attachment, or I have always a hatred, you know. Or maybe that's why I have to suppress them, you know. Or I have to ignore them, you know, like that. So, as long as you are living in the world of clouds, we can never understand all these things. We can never get any perfect equanimity. We can never understand mindfulness or vipassana or all these things. Okay? Why? Because all these things, they don't belong to the world of clouds. That's why. Okay? So, what are they? Now you understand. They are just watching clouds from blue sky. Okay? Because you are watching clouds from blue sky, that's why they are not serious anymore. Right? Do you understand? Cloud, white clouds, black smoke, black clouds, doesn't matter. And you can clearly see things as it is. You can clearly see whiteness or blackness or yellow or blue, or everything like that, as they are. But no attachment, no fear, no anxiety, no jealousy. You know? Why? Because you are blue sky. That's why. Okay, so then, now, like newest movement of therapy is maybe you have heard ACT, you know, acceptance and commitment therapy, you know. It's very popular in America and now in Japan also, you know. Then people talk about acceptance, you know. Acceptance, you know. Yes, because you don't accept, that's why you are creating suffering, you know. That's why acceptance is very important, you know. But point is, can you have acceptance? Absolutely impossible. As long as you are living in the world of clouds, you know. You can never accept other clouds. It's impossible. Because white clouds, black clouds, they are totally different. You know? That's why you have attachments to white clouds. You have a hatred toward black clouds. You can never accept as it is. But because you don't have any acceptance, that's why, yes, it's creating suffering. You know? So that's why these acceptance therapy people, they know exactly. Because people have a very strong resistance, that's why this resistance is creating suffering. That's why you should have acceptance. It's true. It's true, but only in half. Why? Because, you know, therapists, they can clearly see this patient, the resistance in this patient is creating suffering. It's true, right? That's why you need acceptance. You let go of your resistance, you should have acceptance. This is not true. Why? Because people cannot have acceptance. It's impossible. Then therapists tell you, you should have acceptance. And patient, that kind of therapy, that kind of teaching will give more suffering to the patient. I'm always telling to the therapist, many of my friends are therapists, you know, that's why, you know. No, you cannot have acceptance. It's impossible. Then if therapist or a meditation teacher tell you should have acceptance, then they are giving more suffering to their students, to their patients. Why? Because patient, they can never have acceptance. Okay? So then, what is wrong? Everything is wrong. Because as long as we try to do everything in the world of clouds, it's absolutely impossible. You know? That's why we really have to go to blue sky, and we really have to realize we are blue sky itself. Then, only when we realize we are blue sky itself, then now we face the clouds which are arising in our blue sky world. Then what happens? Yes, 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 finally we can have acceptance. Of course blue sky accepts all the clouds. Of course blue sky observes clouds objectively as it is, without any attachment, without any hatred. Perfect equanimity is realized perfectly. Acceptance is realized perfectly. Vipassana, finally we can do vipassana. And finally, we can be mindful of what is going on. Like that. Okay? So, that's why, unless we really realize our true essence is blue sky, all these things, vipassana, perfect equanimity or acceptance therapy and mindfulness, all these things don't make any sense. But only when we really realize our essence is blue sky, all these things are perfectly, we can understand them. Okay? So I'm telling these kind of things to always my friends, therapists, you know. They are practicing with me. And like that, you know. So if we really understand, then we can really change the meditation and therapy of everything, you know. Okay. 9:45, so okay, I will stop. So I will accept several questions. Okay, please go ahead. Yes. Okay.
I can understand the teaching of Buddha being very helpful for suffering of an individual kind. For example, if I'm jealous of somebody, if I want to have more and more position and I'm unhappy that I don't get, then these teachings do help me in making me controlling my emotions and becoming equanimous.
Okay. Individually, yes, but
there are things which are beyond individual. There are sufferings which are caused outside. For example,
in society.
Yes. For example, in an area where Adivasi are living, the tribals are living, and the government has started a mining project, and they have to be uprooted. They have to leave their home state. They have to leave their places because the mining is to be starting. Now these people will suffer. What is Buddha's teaching offered to such people? Do they have to rest and meditate and do nothing to oppose it? Or is there anything that Buddha's teaching offers for them to counter, to make the life better?
Okay. I absolutely understand what you're talking about, you know. So that's why, as you know, now there's a very big movement like engaged Buddhism, you know, engaged Buddhism. So it's exactly like it comes from what you described, you know. Like, yes, if we have this kind of environment, you know, in Deer Park, you know, and we have a free 5 days, you know, and if we practice this kind of meditation, I think everyone can become peaceful, you know. Everyone can really change their life, you know, like that. And already I pointed out a pitfall of each meditation technique, so like that, you know. So now I think meditation method, everything is very clear, you know. But if we get out of this kind of retreat center, and yes, if we go a little bit, yeah, we face very harsh aspect of the society, you know. And of course, in this world, there are rich countries, there are very poor countries, you know. If we go to poor countries, of course, we can face a very harsh reality. It's true, you know. So that's why, but who made this? Who created this? Of course it's us, our human being, you know. We human being. But from what kind of mentality, you know? Because environment is exactly like an expression of our mental state, right? If very dirty environment, it means it is a reflection of the dirty mind, you know. So that's why if our environment is very bad, very dirty, it means our mental state is very bad, you know. But point is, we have to clean up environment. It's true, we have to do it. But the most polluted things in this world is actually nothing but our mind itself. You know? So, war is going on now in Syria or everywhere. You know? But the war starts from our mind. You know? So, that's why if we can't stop our own mind, we cannot stop war itself. You know? Now in East Asia, there is now very political tension is going on among China, Korea, Japan. You know, but for me it's meaningless. You know, really meaningless. I have many friends in Korea, China, Taiwan, or like that. You know, there's absolutely no reason for fighting at all. You know. But some, you know, very political agitator, you know, give very agitating speech. Then people feel, oh, maybe we have to fight, you know, like that. But it's absolutely meaningless, you know. But even Buddha, he suffered because, you know, his kingdom was finally destroyed by neighboring country, you know, like that. So anyway, going back to your question, yes, we have to do something with this kind of Buddhist understanding. Then this movement is called engaged Buddhism, you know. And now, Dearbag itself is belong to this organization, International Engaged Buddhist Society or something like that, you know, INEP. International Network of Engaged Buddhism. You know? Then they are so keen, they are so aware of what is going on in politics and in environment or like that. So that's why we need some kind of concrete action in each, like in the area of which you described, you know. But at the same time, it should be based on Buddhist understanding. Buddhist understanding of our own mind. Because everything started from our own mind. You know? So that's why first we have to work with our own mind. Then we need to do some kind of social action against this kind of injustice or environmental disaster like that. Yes. Oh, yes. Okay.
I understand attachment being one of the reasons for the suffering, but how do I really practice going away from attachment? Or what is the solution to attachment? Or living in this materialistic world and not getting attached to something or someone, how is it really possible? And second is, how do you differentiate between loving something or someone and getting attached to that someone?
Yeah. No, I have been discussing about this subject for 4 days, you know. But anyway, so attachment is one of the main causes of our suffering, you know, because without any understanding of Buddhism, people in the world can still understand it, you know, because obviously someone has a very strong attachment, and because of this, people are suffering, you know. But the point is, as I said, you know, as long as we are living in the world of clouds, the meaning of world of clouds, we have to understand really meditation, you know? Because if you have a non-stop thinking mind, you can never understand the essential point of clouds, the world of clouds and blue sky, you know? Because first, we really have to understand this, our crazy mind, our non-stop negative thinking mind. Then, through meditation, finally we can make our mind slow, 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 and finally calm down. You know? Then, little by little, we can understand the world of blue sky. Okay? Then, from blue sky, we can see things in the clouds, without any attachment, without any hatred. So point is, as long as you are living in the world of clouds, it's absolutely impossible to overcome attachment and hatred. Why? Because as long as you are living in the world of clouds, everything is so real. Everything is so real. That's why if you encounter something good, of course you cannot avoid your attachments to this something good. Because something good really seems like a promise, very big happiness. It will bring you happiness to your life. That's why you cannot stop having attachment to this. And hatred, the same reasons, you know. So that's why As long as you are living in the world of clouds, as a cloud, it's absolutely impossible to stop attachment and hatred. That's why we really have to practice meditation, and we really have to really enter into this, the world of blue sky. You know? Because even if you know attachment is one of the main cause of my suffering, but we just can't stop it. It's impossible. So that's why we really have to practice meditation, because who has an attachment? Our mind, this crazy mind, you know. So that's why we really have to cure this crazy mind. Okay, then second question is the same, you know, like real love, true love, and have attachment is totally different, you know. But we cannot have a true love as long as we live in the world of clouds. We still have a attachment to someone, because this someone, we think someone, this someone will bring me happiness. That's why we have strong attachment. So then that's why compassion meditation every morning we are doing, you know. Then first we say, may I be well and happy, you know, may I be well and happy. Then at that time we can be happy by ourselves. So it means we don't need anybody who makes me happy. You know, this is our starting point. If you cannot become happy by yourself, then you need other people. Then you end up having attachment to someone. And this someone doesn't behave as you want. Of course, your expectation is completely betrayed. 100%. Nobody can satisfy your expectation. Nobody behaves as you want, you know. That's why your expectation is completely betrayed. Then your love is very quickly transformed into very strong attachment. Hatred or like that. Okay? So that's why we really have to start from becoming happy by ourselves. Then we don't need anybody who makes me happy. And ironically, only then we can love other people. We can have a pure love to other people. You know? Without any attachment. So, like people think, oh, if I don't need anybody to make me happy, I become like a so-called indifferent. I don't care other people. Actually not. As you know, enlightened teacher, like His Holiness or like that, they are extremely loving people. You know? They love everybody. Why? Because ironically, they don't need anybody to make them happy. You know? Okay, go ahead. Yes.
Talk about attachment and letting go of those areas, but you're saying you have not
achieved. Excuse me, what's again?
Talk about attachment.
Attachment, yes.
Material.
Material.
This building is expensive and it's a big statue. Would it not be more compassionate to have built a hospital or a school and not have an expensive temple?
Building hospital instead of what?
Well, like Buddhist temples will have these big statues, and it's expensive building. But would it, could you not build a hospital or a school? Is that not more compassion?
Mm-hmm. Okay. But this is a hospital. Do you understand? This is a mental hospital. You know? So, like, we are doing treatment here. You know? So, like, if disease is only physical, what you say is makes sense. But as you know, our disease is not only just physical. And as everyone knows, mental disease is more serious than physical disease. Agree? Right? So that's why we need a mental hospital. And Deer Park is a mental hospital. So it means if we have only physical disease, then build a so-called ordinary hospital is only one choice. But our reality is not like that. Because mental disease is much more serious than just physical disease. You know? So that's why temple is not just like some kind of luxurious place. Temple is exactly hospital. And Buddha is exactly doctor. He called himself doctor. And people call him like a great doctor. Great mental doctor. Why? Because he is curing people's mind. You know, today, so-called psychiatrists or therapists, usually people think they are mental doctor. But historically, not. You know? 2,500 years ago, there's no psychiatrist or no therapist, you know. But Buddha is actually psychiatrist and therapist. You know, this psychiatry and therapy is a very, very modern concept, you know. And so that's why, like, retreat is retreat, and real, like, you know, medical treatment is going on in some hospital. It's not true at all. It's not at all true, you know. Yes, some kind of physical treatment is going on, so-called hospital, but very serious mental treatment is now going on in this retreat too, you know. So that's why, because if we don't understand our real disease, you know, maybe retreat is just a nothing, you know, okay, we have to work as a hospital and like that, you know. But if you really go to any country, more serious things are going on in people's mind, you know. So that's why, you know, like poverty or hunger or war, it's so obvious. And of course we have to deal with them. But superficially looks like a very peaceful society, peaceful school, peaceful company, but the people's mind is in hell. You know that. You know. So that's why we really have to deal with them. You know. So, okay, go ahead.
Yes. I wanted to ask a question about you talk about clouds being good or bad. Can't we just see them as clouds? Because for me, when I label them good or bad, I naturally want to grab to the good and actually just have awareness that they're clouds and then be able to sit back from them rather than. Does that make sense? So that they're just, because I don't think I'm ever going to be able to stop these clouds appearing, and I'm not going to have, if I sort of look at them as well, they're just my feelings. That's it. They're just an aspect of me. Then I can separate myself. When I think one's good, one's bad, then I berate myself for the bad and think I'm good, so I'm good. I can't see it. Does that make sense?
Okay. So, okay, clouds, the world of clouds and blue sky is not two separate world. Okay? But look at the cloud. This is real clouds, you know? Clouds are just floating in the world of blue sky. Okay? So that's why you don't have to escape. You don't have to escape. Well, you don't have to separate. You know? But you have to change your position. So position in the clouds or position in the blue sky. Okay? So if you stand in the middle of blue sky, or your identity is now blue sky, then you still are having clouds. Then at that time, you can have such an attitude like acceptance, perfect equanimity, observe things as they are, like that. Okay? So, it's not like clouds, blue sky, it's not like that. But as long as your identity is a cloud or your identity is a blue sky, this difference. So you don't have to separate. Okay, so let's continue. Okay, so if you want to have a personal conversation, please come to my room at 5 after yoga session, you know. Okay, so tomorrow, we'll continue to tomorrow. Okay, thank you.